Good morning and welcome to Filtered. This is your daily digital thought download on everything from mindset to wellness to leadership. We're nearing the end of week four, and as such, the end of season one. As always, if you're enjoying the podcast, rating, reviewing and subscribing is a big help to help it get discovered. I'm Megan Cassidy and I'm joined by Jamie Heaslip as always. And this morning we're talking about networking, which is a word that I know gives a lot of people anxious belly. It's something that we find sometimes it's a little bit sleazy, the whole business card transaction. It's an invaluable skill. People help in every area of your career and life. You will come back to people, people, people. And for me, I think the most invaluable contacts, you find them in places that you don't expect. It's very rarely at networking events. Do you agree, Jamie, or do you like networking events? Do you go to networking events?
Yeah, like, I don't know if it's an Irish thing or not, but like, there seems to be like, networking seems to be like a dirty word or something, you know, or a dirty job or something. It's more than just collecting fucking business cards, right? Like it is. But when you think about it, we're probably the best at it. We just, we have to reframe how we think about it. So we have great communities, you know, we keep in touch with friends all around the world. And that's what networking in, it's relationships, right? Because I think if you approach it with a very transactional cost type of way of I'm connecting with these people because they are of use to me, I think that's not sustainable. I think really what you got to think of is the people or the subjects that you're interested in have got to, they are the networks that you got to plug into, you know, so there'll be people who are in that network that you're interested in terms of what they do and their thoughts around it. Because it can't just be, I need to get that off that person. You know what I mean? There has to be a bit of a bigger interest around it. And so when you think about it, you got to think, you know, you got to reframe that going, I'm like a doctor or I'm an accountant and I don't need to network, or I'm an introvert. I don't need to network. I think, you know, those labels, those kind of limiting beliefs are going to be a challenge for you, because we're now in a more, just how we're working now, you know, we're in probably the most collaborative kind of way of working ever going forward. And I don't think that's ever going to change. You know, that's people are seeing the benefit of teams coming together and the power of teams. So I think you've got to reframe your identity, right? And go, I'm an accountant and a networker or whatever like that. And then break it apart in terms of like, that strategic network that you have that you probably don't realize you have, you know, you've got like, you know, you've got your kind of work network, let's call it like your immediate peers and people that you're working with on a daily basis. You got your organization network of people broader in the network basically that you could reach out to. You've got your own personal network, for want of a better word, you know, kind of family, friends, you know, if you're part of some different clubs or hobbies, and then you've got a professional network in terms of that industry that's a little bit broader, I suppose, that you're in. So there are four networks pretty much straight away that you can start plugging into, start meeting people, having the chats with them, and going to events that are in areas that you're interested in. And then it becomes a case of like, okay, how do I get over my fears or my beliefs around introducing myself to uncomfortable situations? Because remember, like, we're people of like, we love habit, we love comfort, we love things nice and easy. We don't like getting outside of our control of our comfort zone, and you got to get over that, because stretching yourself in that regard will can unlock unbelievable potential in terms of opportunity.
Rick Tarotsky, I think you pronounce it, has a fantastic TED talk on networking for introverts. And you've touched on it there. Our fear of introducing ourselves can really hamper us in this respect. When you imagine meeting someone new and giving almost an elevator pitch on who you are, trying to sum yourself up in 5 minutes and portray the best version of yourself that you possibly can. And he very much says that that's not what you need to do to be a good networker. He refers to it as collecting dots. Just meet people, say hello, be yourself, be nice,
yeah.
have a coffee, be sound. You don't have to have any, you know, earth-shattering insight for the person, but you're collecting dots of, okay, I know an engineer, I know an employment lawyer, I know, you know, a technical expert. And as long as the transaction goes two ways, people generally love to help. Something that
that's exactly to my point. Like, mm-hmm. like in terms of like, don't have a like, what are they doing for me kind of straight away thing. And I would counter saying it is good to have it down, have an elevator pitch in general, because if you're walking in your organization, you come across CEO on the lift, or, you know, your boss's boss or whatever, it is handy to have like, this is what we're working on, these are the problems, and these are the type of people I'm looking to connect with. That's handy to have. It's not necessary. And you can get into like that storytelling part of how you position yourself. And that's, you know, if you're going to a purely networking event or you're going to a conference, that is handy to have, because, you know, you don't want to be talking to someone for like an hour, a half an hour, and find out that it's not a real, not that it's wasted, but like, you know, like the purpose of that, of those networks is to meet people. So everyone's on the same trip of like, okay, let's try and meet loads of people and connect all the dots. But like, you'll remember the reason you have a pitch or you're able to tell your story is because that's how they remember you. Right. Mm-hmm. And that's essentially what you want. You want them to remember who you are, what you're about, and what you kind of do. So they, to your point, you can connect the dots then. But yeah, there's sometimes like I've turned up to events and, you know, you have to stick on the badge and stuff, and you can see people are reading the badge, basically saying, is it of value to you? Just spend 5-10 minutes with the person and you'll know, and then politely kind of go, you know, move on or whatever like that. But some people do it in a very like militarized kind of way, and you can see right through it.
Yeah. And I think that's exactly it. The whole networking event very much lends itself to that transactional look at the badge. I think that sums it up. When you can see people looking at your badge. Or the other one that's the worst is when you're having a conversation with someone and you can see their eyes traveling past you around the room to see who else is there or who might be of better value. And I think that's why we don't, or I don't, and my peers don't, and in Ireland, we struggle with the whole setup networking thing. But many of the most invaluable contacts I have come from relationships that started when we talked nothing about business. We just bumped into each other at a pub or at a shared interest event. And then years down the line, you'll find, oh, now I actually run a media business. Your organization needs advertising. And there's amazing synergies there. For people who don't have a network at all and they're only starting out in COVID or in the middle of a pandemic, what I would say, and something I've always employed, is reach out. And I don't think people write letters enough to people who they admire. Everyone loves getting a letter that says, I love what you're doing. I've noticed X, Y, Z. I'd love to meet for a coffee and chat through it. I'm looking at following the same career path. A one-to-one letter like that can be so impactful if it's well written. When I watch documentaries that I love, I always reach out to the person that created or produced the documentary. I write a letter and they very frequently write back because people love getting well thought out letters. And it's someone who advised me to do this a couple of years ago, Molly Bloom. There's a Oscar winning movie about Molly Bloom. What's it called? Molly's Game. And I read her book. I wrote her a letter. And then in the pandemic, we started doing these Zoom calls together. You would be so surprised who you can reach out to just by going directly to the source with an honest, earnest letter. People love it.
Yeah, and you kind of hit on something there. Like, take right now, right? Like, unfortunately, you're asking offline how we're going on the pubs, and you know, we went from 70 people overnight. We let them go, and we went down to like 2 people. We built that back up to 30, and we've had to let 20 people go, and we're back down to 10, right? And that's shit. There's no two ways about it, and that's happening across the country. But something that like, I've seen people do when they've been let go of their job or they've left their job, you know, as a choice, and they give themselves sometimes one way to find the next step in their career. And one thing they do, they actually get real strategic about reaching out to different people. Either they text them, they email them, they write a letter, but they get very strategic where they look at their networks, like I said, like, okay, what's my work network like? What's my organization network like? What's my professional network like? What's my, let's call it your life network. What's that like, you know? What's my community network like? Who can I reach out here? And get real strategic about, like, because if you flip your thinking and saying, okay, I am a networker. Yeah, I'm going to network. Then it's part of my job. Then once it's kind of part of your job, you can get strategic about it. And then you can start, to your point, you can find the people that you want to talk to. And most people, you know, if it's a good introduction or if it's a good network or it's relatively close, will chat to you for 15 minutes, worst case. You know what I mean? Via Zoom or half an hour or whatever it is. Now you got to be prepared depending on what it is in terms of what the ask is and what you're trying to achieve for yourself, essentially. But if you get strategic about it, and like, I know someone who basically for 9 months set 2 meetings a day.
Wow.
2 meetings. And it sounds little, but like.
No, imagine multiple 2 dots of that a day.
Is pretty big.
Yeah.
So, and just got real strategic about it and methodical. And they had a loose agenda every time going to them in terms of, oh yeah, I'm meeting this person because they're in this industry and I'm interested in that because of X, Y, and Z. And this is what I'm telling them that I'm doing that's kind of framed for that. So then everyone is kind of getting something from it. But yeah, you can get strategic about it. And I think to your point, that's the whole point, isn't it? It kind of is like, okay, I'm going to reach out to people of interest to me, either hobbies or career or people I admire or somewhere I want to get to. And start reaching out and branching out that network. Because it might not happen straight away, but people connect the dots at the most random of times.
That's it. It's always so random. It's always like an idea that just sparks. Go, this person needs to meet this person. And that can be the start of something beautiful. Even if you're the facilitator of connecting two dots and it's not anything that does anything for your career, there's a great satisfaction in going, I know two people who really need to meet. And some people have built entire careers on being good at connecting dots and facilitating meetings or facilitating partnerships.
There's a great app actually that I've been using called Bridge.
Right.
And it's a very handy app. So let's say I had someone that you wanted to meet. So it removes the awkwardness out of it. So I basically set it up where I all in the app in one kind of fell quick interaction where I put you in, I put them in, and I effectively request them if they would like to be, if it's okay to be introduced to you. And it gives them the option to say yes or no, but like very few people ever say no, you know what I mean? Yeah. And then it's kind of all done seamlessly with a nice email, introducing to you and then handing it over to you two to kind of carry it forward and arrange.
I love that.
Yeah, but it's called Bridge, and it's really. I'm trying to see. Do I have my phone on me? And I can show you.
That's a really good idea because it makes it easy for the person who's being asked to meet, and that's what has worked for me with people who would reach out on LinkedIn. If you reach out with, you know, a very open-ended, would love to meet sometime and, you know, chat about media, that's very difficult to say. Yeah, let's do 11 o'clock at the Devlin. When someone gets in touch and
says, I always say use Calendly then to set the meeting because that removes the whole back and forth stuff as well.
I love that. It's yes, no.
Yeah, have you used Calendly?
No. You've got all the tech tips.
I use Calendly. So I'm just looking up Bridge. Bridge is here. I'll hold it up to the camera. We're being real technical. If you can see Bridge there.
I really can't. Oh yes, okay. The blue—it's a dark blue icon.
It's a blue one that kind of looks like white dotted bridge.
Yeah.
And then Calendly is a great one for you can set different types of meetings on your calendar effectively. That you send them a link. So let's say it's Zoom meetings that you've set that are all half an hour, and you can set the window in your calendar for them and when they can book them, and then you just pass the link off to them, going, "You decide."
Yeah. And I love that. And I think even without using a tool, if you get in touch with someone and say, listen, this is what I'm doing in my career, this is what I want to get to, I have a couple of questions for you. Can we do a coffee on Thursday? you let me know what time suits, and make it as kind of narrow as possible so that the person can get, just respond. No, you're not going to take up an hour of their time. It's going to be 10 minutes. And that 10 minutes can lead to a lifelong connection then. Okay. That's
and sorry, just on that, before we go, when you establish the relationship, this is the thing. This is why it can't be so transactional. You've got to try and nurture that relationship. You got to build trust in that relationship in order for it to be sustainable and long-term and have that serendipitous moment way down the road. Mm. And, you know, just think of the three C's, compassion, character, and competency. So, you know, know what you're talking about and know what you're doing. Mm. Be a good fucking person, to be honest, and be nice around, and then be compassionate for their scenario and understanding them, and have an empathy for their situation or what it is that they do.
Yeah, and an interest in what they do as well. That's us for this morning. Thanks so much, Jamie. Tomorrow is the last episode, Friday, the last episode of season one. So we'll see you here tomorrow morning, same time, same place. Thanks, Jamie.
Take care.